Here we go, a little convo for you. January 8th, 2023, Norm along with Mike. The Maple Leafs 5-4-1 in their past 10. A bit of a bumpy week, finishing at least to this point with a nice 4-1 win over the Detroit Red Wings. I made a comment in community, leafsconvo.com/YouTube/community, about how last night's game was a good one, Mike. You know, the Red Wings are an up-and-coming team. The Leafs could have faltered, considering that that's what they did to the Kraken, but they hung tough. Great goaltending from Ilya Samsonov, 500 points from Mitch Marner. Nice little nifty little flick with his skate to John Tavares, who had two good goals. All is fine and dandy, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, in terms of, I mean, you have to recognize that there is going to be a lull every once in a while. They were playing at a breakneck pace in November and early December. And then I would say around mid-December, there seemed to be a little bit of a drop off and in their play, and it's lasted about a month. No, they've been able to get wins, but I think the consistency of the goaltending, and we'll talk about that in a minute, has been off, sort of up and down. You know, maybe the injuries finally caught up to them, because playing that five man team defense and, you know, without Riley, without Muzzin, without Brody, you know, and without one or both of your starting goaltenders, that does wear on you, not only physically, but emotionally. And maybe it just caught up to them. I do think that, you know, they've had some dog games, you know, like the game in Washington last month was not great. The perennial Arizona, you know, shit sandwich that they always seem to do against the Coyotes. And, you know, against St. Louis, they played two games against the Blues. Both of them were sort of off type. They were sort of wide open offensive games. And that's not what Sheldon Keefe wants to play. And the Seattle game, they just simply got beat by a team that was working harder. Yeah. And, you know, now Murray did not have a good game, and he didn't make the big save, and Keefe, you know, called him out for it. Not in a mean way, but just said, you know, it was the reality. We needed a big save and we didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But Samsonov has struggled, and Murray has been up and down, but they got a good performance on Saturday out of Samsonov when it was 1-0. He made a number of saves that kept them in the game. And then they got on track in the second and third period. So I don't think it's something that, you know, people should be concerned about, but I think what people are looking at is this is the same time last year where Jack Campbell dropped off the planet, where he was superhuman and earned an all-star berth based on his play in October and November. December, he was okay. And then he started to fall in January, and then he got hurt. And then, you know, so they look at what happened last year and then how the team was number one in the league record-wise, and how they fell off in January, February, and March. And they still won games, but, you know, the type of game that they were playing was not conducive to them winning in the playoffs. And they saw signs of what that happening. And their homestand was 1-1-1. It's not disastrous, but it wasn't ideal.
So the Leafs' goal differential is among the best. The average goals against per game, I think they are the second or third best in the league. Despite this lapse, despite the multitude of goals that have come against the Leafs in the St. Louis game, I think, 11 goals or 10 regulation time goals in back-to-back games, kind of sucky. But the difference between the Jack Campbell situation and what's going on now is you have one goaltender to off-spell the other if there's trouble. So if Matt Murray has an off night, and Sheldon Keefe thinks he needs to take a bit of a rest, not to punish him, but just to let him clear his head. And obviously too, he's a guy who's coming back off of injury. He's not the youngest player in the world. You have Ilya Samsonov, who can put up a good game like he did last night and, you know, at least calm the waters a little bit, Mike. So, you know, while there are some goaltending concerns, these are your ride or die guys, right? There's no third goaltender coming in to mix it up. And statistically, what the back end has done has been pretty extraordinary when you compare it to the rest of the league. So That's hockey, man. That's hockey. You're going to have these shitty fucking games. You're going to have to deal with them. It's just how you bounce back, and they looked really good against the Red Wings last night.
Well, I mean, you know, to your point, Eric Schallgren is there in case, you know, break glass if in case. You know, he did a decent job, but he's not stealing. He's not going to be stealing Murray or Samsonov's job if they get injured. And actually, I have to say this. Joseph Woll, since coming back from injury, I believe he's 7-0. No. I'm not.
Get Don Beaupre on the line. See if he might want to.
Well, no, but I mean, Joseph Woll is a legitimate prospect.
No, I know.
But the thing is that, you know, I mean, he has had an inability to stay healthy the last few years, and that's why it's encouraging in terms of him, you know, establishing himself at the American Hockey League level. And you have to say that if one of Murray or Samsonov goes down, like, sure, that Woll might be the guy that gets the look, because he played in the NHL last year. He's playing well this year. And the Leafs are going to, and I'm going to write about this, the Leafs are going to have to make a decision at the end of this year. And they're concerned about this year and this year only. They're not going to really worry about the machinations in the summer. But I, of course, look at those things. And Joseph Woll is on a second contract, or third contract, I believe. He's a one-way deal, and he's 24 years old, and he won't be able to clear waivers. And he's playing well, and he might be somebody that slips through waivers and goes down to the American Hockey League, but a 24-year-old goaltender who's big, who's got talent, probably doesn't do that. And, you know, whether they keep Samsonov and this is a one-year deal, or and they don't qualify him, or they trade him, or whatever. I mean, Woll is going to be a factor. Either he gets traded, or they have confidence in him being the number two. But there's going to be a decision-making process when it comes to the goaltending situation down the line if Woll continues to play well at the American Hockey League level.
Are you telling me that Kyle Dubas may consider Joseph Woll an institution between the pipes for the Maple Leafs? It's possible that, I mean, this guy's obviously dealt with so many injuries, and he's been an afterthought. But
well, not an institution, but the thing is, it's like when you have a team that has, and we talked about this so many times, a team that has spending $40 million on four forwards.
Right.
Spending like $3 to $4 million on a 1B goaltender, which Samsonov could get on a new deal if they qualify him, or they go to arbitration, or a backup at $775,000, which is what Woll is making. Right. You know, for financial situations, they might have to say, okay, we're going to go with Woll, and we have Schallgren in case Murray gets hurt. You know, that's a bridge that they'll cross when they come to it. But it is something that I'm sure is in the back of the mind of Kyle Dubas.
This is The Combo, Norm along with Mike. Thanks, guys, for being here. Just going to be a short show. We know that the Leafs are in Philadelphia tonight. So we'll get to our points. We'll get to some of your points, OGs and converts, and then we shall wrap it up. Mike, you made a comment to me this week about how the Leafs are playing, and you brought it up here already, but they're playing loosey-goosey. And when they were shorthanded, they were cognizant of a defensive style of play. You know, Matthews, Marner, I mean, Nylander's playing at over a point per game clip, but these guys might be a little bit off of where we would expect them to be points wise. So the Leafs have dialed it back a bit on the offensive end, but had been really strong defensively with those, you know, the last couple of games and all of the goals against. I mean, we can pin it on the goaltending to an extent, but really, if you're allowing many chances against, the odds of the best goaltenders giving up goals increases. Are you a little bit concerned, Mike, that, you know, with now that there seems like there's a full complement of players, that the Leafs are kind of slipping back into this loosey-goosey, high-powered intention of scoring and letting the chips fall where they may, and hoping that the goaltending holds things down?
Well, I sort of foresaw it happening, because it's only natural when, like I said, when Brody, Muzzin, and Riley are out of the lineup, and you're, you know, you have Eric Schallgren in goal instead of Murray or Samsonov, and you see Austin Matthews going behind the goal line and helping out the defense dig out the puck, or Tavares or any of the centers, you know, and they're helping out. They're being really, you know, putting in a lot of effort in their own zone. They're doing that because they know that they're shorthanded and they need to do that. But then when Riley comes back and Sandin comes back, I you know, this team is in its heart, in its DNA, is a scoring team.
Yeah, of course. So
you see Matthews, you know, now around you see Matthews around the what?
Your ringtone, the who?
Yeah, it was who are you? You see Matthews or you see Tavares now, like maybe at the bottom of the faceoff circle, looking for the breakout pass.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's like, you know, not that they're not trying, but inherently, I think the effort here is to go the other way.
Mike Sheldon Keefe's got to rein that in. Is there just no way to get back to playing the way they did? I know it wasn't the flashiest thing, and everybody wants to see Austin Matthews score 60 again. It's not happening. Let's just get up responsible defensively, tighten things up, explode when you have to. And play a playoff style game.
That's not sexy though. And they, you know, these guys, you know, they want to win, but they also want to score their goals. And I think, you know, it gives you confidence that they can do this when it counts in the playoffs. But during the regular season, they're going to want to, you know, get their cookies. They're going to want to, you know, get their apples. They're going to want to score goals, get assists.
Right.
You know, that's just part of this whole thing. But but you know, like in certain games, like, you know, when they play Boston at the beginning of next month, it'll probably be a really tight game because they can't play the type of game where they're like opening it up and, you know, wide open against the St. Louis Blues because the Bruins have more weapons. So, I mean, I don't think it's something you can turn on and off. Ideally, I would want a team that plays 82 games the way the Leafs played in November and December. But, you know, only the Bruins seem to be doing that. They've got 4 regulation losses right now. So that's just the reality.
Leafs at Boston on January 14th, Mike.
No, I was talking about back in Toronto. They play them on February 1st.
Are you writing off the Boston game?
No, I'm not. I was just looking at their home schedule when they play them next week at TD Garden, which has always been a place where the Leafs have struggled, and you know that's going to be a showcase matchup between the first and second place teams in the Atlantic and two of the top 5 records in the league. Yeah, it's going to be a measuring stick to see what they do against them. But I was looking more at the game in early February, just before the All-Star break. And, you know, Boston just doesn't seem to make any mistakes. Now, they've started to get some injuries. DeBrusk got hurt at the Winter Classic. And maybe as the season goes along, veteran guys like Krejci and Bergeron start to wear down a little bit. But right now, I mean, they're just a machine. They don't lose and they don't make many mistakes.
Do you think that game coming up next week indicates anything? The Leafs beat them. We're going to have a sizable portion of the Leafs fan base saying, see, I told us so. We're better than this team. And if the Leafs lose, it's guys like you and I reminding everybody that, you know, Mount Bruin must be conquered before the Leafs move on to do anything of substance.
Well, remember that game, the 2-1 game that they won at Scotiabank Arena. That was the night that Samsonov hurt his knee on a Brad Marchand penalty shot, and Schallgren was put in the third period. And if you remember, the Leafs were playing in front of Schallgren like the Carolina Hurricanes did when David Ayers was in goal. It was like they were blocking shots. They weren't letting anything get through, and they held on for a 2-1 victory. So right. That comment there about the Bruins have better contracts.
I'm trying to get rid of notifications. People are texting me about cars and stuff. I'm like, I'm doing hockey now. Leave me alone.
Yes. Well, I had somebody calling me for some stupid reason. That's going to end pretty soon because Charlie McAvoy is making $9.5 million. David Pastrnak more than likely is going to make $10 million. The era of the Bruins getting like hometown discount contracts are are over with. I mean, they had to give Hampus Lindholm an 8-year deal to get the contract under $7 million. So they're actually having to spend money. But to Dwayne's point, the problem is that the Leafs paid up on Matthews and Marner and because before they'd really established themselves as stars. Now they're stars, and those deals are not as bad as they were. Right. But again, we've covered that territory in terms of the Leafs.
And again, it's right now in this moment, and we've been dealing in the moment throughout the entire season 5 of the Leafs Combo on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. In this moment, none of that even means anything, right? This is about how the Leafs can get from here to the launch point after game 82. And bust their way through the playoffs at last, right? And we know that Boston will be an obstruction along that way. And most people would bet on Boston thwarting the Leafs' chances again. It's, you know, from in this moment, you know, when we talk about these things, what do we see that the Leafs will be able to accomplish between then and now that will help them finally you know, overcome these obstructions and these restrictive situations that have, you know, caused guys like you and I to, you know, second guess whether this group of players and this regime is the right one to succeed when it really counts. And that's in the playoffs.
The thing that's going to be interesting, because the trade deadline is March the 3rd. And I think we all realize that Kyle Dubas is probably going to make a move or two.
Right.
But he's limited in terms of the moves he can make based on the salary cap, even with Jake Muzzin on LTIR. They have about, according to Cap Friendly, they have about $2 million in cap space. But
and what do they do, Mike? Well, because where you look at it right now, it's not like there's a glaring hole. There's a glaring hole.
I think there's a glaring hole, and that's left wing on the second line. I mean, not that Kali Yarncroke is not playing well, because he is, but I do think what they want to do, ideally what they want to do, is to move Yarncroke down to the third line in that mix with Kerfoot and Engvall and David Kampf, and create some more depth where they can move one of those guys down to the fourth line and make the fourth line stronger. And that can be done by them being able to, you know, trade for a second line or even a top six winger. Now, will that be easy? No. With the amount of money that they have under the cap, they can manipulate that. They could send Wayne Simmonds down to the minors. That opens up $850,000. They can, you know, move somebody off the roster. But what I do think is going to be a factor, and it's something that's optimistic in terms of the Leafs, is the Connor Bedard sweepstakes and what he did at the World Junior. There are going to be a number of teams that are going to be desperate
to get rid of guys because they want to go the other way.
Exactly. And what that means is they're not going to dump them for nothing. But when it comes to, oh, we want a first round pick for Gavrikov. I don't think the Leafs are trading for a defenseman, but say Columbus is looking to trade Gavrikov. Okay, we want a first round pick. Well, now, you know, they may be bad enough to not win with Gavrikov, but they might be willing enough to take a first round pick down the line or a second round pick. So it's going to affect the price point that teams are willing to ask for these players, because simply they want to get them off their roster.
Right.
So they improve their chances for Connor Bedard.
This is tough, right? Because we've seen Kyle Dubas make big change at the deadline. The result, not what we were hoping for. We've seen him stand relatively pat, and the result, not what we're hoping for. You know, we've talked about adding more grit up front. You're saying a second line left wing of substance, of some pedigree, and someone who can come in and help change the dynamic would be super beneficial to this team towards its playoff aspirations becoming real and, you know, improved, right, Mike? But who do you get? How much do you have to spend? And that's, you know, the guys on the ice, Mike, and a lot of them have been facilitated and situated by Kyle Dubas and the brass. The guys on the ice have done their job to this point to make it. I don't know if it's make it easier for Kyle Dubas or perhaps even a little harder, because you know it's a difficult thing to try to accomplish here. The team doesn't leave anything to be desired in this moment. It looks good again. It's going to position itself well. It's how do you augment it the right way without doing anything that's extraordinarily drastic, but you know, finally, you know, the amendment is the right one this time. That'll give the team a better chance of having that ultimate success. And the ultimate success at this point is making it through the first round of the playoffs. Then, you know, all bets are off. I saw a comment here from Spike 11. Mike, the difference is that on the next contract, Pasternak will make $10 million, while Matthews and Marner will each want $15 million. I mean, that's ridiculous money for either one of those players.
And neither one of them are going to get $15 million. Neither one of them. Right. I mean, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, Matthews and Marner have been paid significant money for 5-6 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're going to take a hometown discount. They're going to want to get paid as much as they possibly can. Auston Matthews is going to be the highest paid player in the league. I am fairly confident based on what I've heard from Elliot Friedman and, you know, Pierre LeBrun and other people in the know that the Leafs, not that they're not going to have trouble signing Matthews, but they're willing to pay him the highest paid salary in the league, more than McDavid. And I think that's the mark that he wants. And he'll probably want a little more than that, but are you going to complain that if you're paying Auston Matthews? I mean, he's making 11.6 right now. If you pay him 13.5, that's only $2 million more on the cap than it is right now. It's not like it's $13 million more. No, it's $2 million more from what you're paying right now. And Marner, I mean, Marner's probably going to make slightly more than he's making right now. You have to also factor in that more than likely, John Tavares is going to take right, significantly less, yep, on his new deal. Now the random element here, folks, and if nobody wants to hear about it, is Nylander. Nylander's putting up career best numbers, and if Nylander wants top dollar, if he wants close to what Marner is making right now,
I don't think he'll get it in Toronto.
He's not going to get it in Toronto. And then that's the whole thing of, do you keep that guy? I mean, he's been one of their best players so far this year. Right. I'm not denying that. But can you pay three players, even at a $90 million cap, which is probably going to be what it's going to be in a couple years, can you pay three players over $10 million? I don't think you can.
They want to get themselves out of that situation where the money is compartmentalized to a specific group, when a lot of that cash, not all of it, and just a lot of it, can be dispersed throughout the roster to make things better from top to bottom. I mean, they're nearly there, but man, couldn't they use, you know, $5-7 million that's devoted to these top four guys and put it elsewhere and know that, you know, you're doing the right thing on behalf of the team. These are all things that are, you know, will transpire and shake out and unfold and reveal themselves as we, you know, get past this season and beyond. But in the moment, Mike, in the moment, we'll talk about the Philadelphia game and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, a Sunday game in Philly. I mean, it's a rite of passage for the Maple Leafs annually. What coming off of last night's wonderful performance against the Wings, but you know, with the St. Louis game and the Seattle game not too far in the rear view mirror, and you know, potentially still there to affect the Leafs negatively, what are you expecting to see from the Leafs tonight? More of the Red Wings game, or you know, well, you think they're going to be that consistent?
They've played Philadelphia twice, and both times Philadelphia didn't quit. It was, you know, they're a very workmanlike team under John Tortorella. He doesn't let them. I mean, they don't have a ton of talent, but they have a good goaltender in Carter Hart, and they have a couple pretty decent defensemen, and they have a couple pretty decent forwards. So if the effort is not there, it's very conceivable that the Leafs could lose to them. What more than like, you know, Matt Murray is probably going to be the starter since Samsonov started on Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised, and we won't know this until just before game time, whether they will make any lineup changes. Maybe Keith referenced it in the post game. I didn't get a chance to listen to his post game comments, but I wouldn't be surprised if a Giordano gets sat for a game because, you know, he's played a lot. What about Timmons? I think Timmons yeah. deserves to get back in. You know, maybe Wayne Simmons plays because it's in Philadelphia sure. where he played, you know, they sit Dryden Hunt or they sit somebody else. So there'll be a couple cursory lineup changes, but I don't think it's going to be anything dramatic. So it's going to be, you know, who, you know, your core guys and whether they can perform and the second of back-to-back games, which is always a tough task, and especially against a team like Philadelphia. You know, it'll be challenging. You know, Philadelphia, this is again, these are the games. This is the team that you should beat, but whether you do beat them, who knows?
Well, I don't think you can just beat them by dancing around and, you know, with precision passing and, you know, some nice goaltending. You have to play a complete game, and you know, bringing someone like Simmons in makes sense because he doesn't have much time left, but he'd be motivated for this one, his ex-team, but also a chance to show that he's still worth something. And you know, we've talked about Connor Timmins and what he brings and how we're excited to see you know, him perform on a nightly basis, out of the lineup, an opportunity to get back in and do his thing on the road in a moment where the Leafs could really use another win, right? Not just to keep moving up the standings and stay at least within, you know, general vicinity of the Boston Bruins and keep you know, keep their distance from Tampa, but you know, losing a couple, winning one, losing again, you know, the Leafs with the consistency certainly is the key, Mike. And are you expecting Murray to draw back in tonight? Or
yeah, I would be shocked if they go with Samsonov on back-to-back nights. It should be Murray, and Murray, I'm sure, will be anxious to. And this is the thing, Murray, after a bad game against Arizona, he bounced back with a good game against Colorado. He had a bad game against Seattle. Now, the team had a bad game, so it wasn't all on him, but I think, you know, he's going to be looking to jump back in and put in a good effort against Philadelphia. Whether that guarantees them a win, who knows? You know, goaltenders are voodoo. You never know what's going to happen, but I do think, based on what he has done so far this year, there haven't been, like, multiple games in a row where he's played badly, so I expect him to play pretty well coming back.
I just want to go through some of the comments here because they're pretty entertaining, and then we'll get out of here. You don't have to you know, add to the mic, but Robert Bjor, still 10 points behind Boston. John Robertson, connecting needs to be taught some manners in this game, the silent night. Bring in Richard Simmons, sweating to the oldies. Dwayne Smith, thanks guys, enjoy the podcast. Dwayne, we enjoy having you around here. Carlos Correa, are you signing with the Mets or what? What's going on with this? Leafs should model their team like the Kraken.
Oh, yeah. That's brilliant.
Spike 11, a great contributor. Would rather the Leafs keep Nylander and offload Riley, who has proven to be expendable. You know, he's looked a little bit, I don't know, a bit rusty coming back from injury.
Yes.
Fuck, he's going to find his game.
Yeah, I mean, see, everybody complains about the Leafs defense, and now you want to trade their best defenseman.
To a sip last night too, man. Like,
yeah, after he's agreed to an 8-year deal, you want to trade their best defenseman. That's what I mean. It's like, oh, by the way, congratulations to Morgan Riley. Him and the lovely and talented Tessa Virtue are now engaged. I will bet you anything that one of the reasons why he took a little less to stay in Toronto. She's from Ontario. If he went
from Hilderton, she's from north of London.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure that was a factor. She's based in Toronto, and, you know, she's got a, you know, she has a career in Toronto. So, right. You know, I'm happy for him. And I, the criticisms of Riley coming back, like, you expected him to jump back after being out 5 weeks with a knee injury, for him to look like he's dancing around like he's a 21-year-old. I mean, just, we cut the guy a little break for
shiny and new. It's you know, forgotten. If you're not around for a while and you don't come back and you're stellar. I mean, again, we've talked about the perception of Morgan Riley. He's kind of, You know, he's just there. He's just consistent. Does he make people get off their seats and go bananas during big hits or big shots? Is he boisterous? No, he's pretty just a BC boy, plain Jane. But he's been super consistent, and these are the kinds of guys who really don't get appreciated. But that's kind of what we're looking for: somebody who just goes about their business and does things with consistency and with professionalism, and who, when you tally up the stats and you tally up the achievements game to game, are, you know, cumulatively what you need from somebody in that position. The Leafs have committed to him. He's committed to the Maple Leafs, and you know, in a couple of games when he's rocking and rolling again at full tilt, I'm sure he'll still be criticized. There was just one other one here, be skinny. So, and this sounds like a facetious comment, so an older JT sticks around and they lose Nylander.
But an older JT might take $5 million a year. That's the thing. It's like, okay, he's not the player he was when they signed him at what, 28 years old, but he's still an effective number two center. And he probably would be willing to take less since he's captain, since he's made his money, since he wants to stay in Toronto. There's no guarantee on this. I'm just saying, you know, based on what Jason Spezza has done, based on what Giordano has done, John Tavares strikes me as the player who, okay, I'm not going to need every dollar that I can squeeze out of the Leafs. And the Leafs, the core group of this team, is now morphing from him being more of a secondary player like Joe Pavelski is in Dallas. And by the way, you know, Joe Pavelski just signed an extension and signed for $3.5 million. You know, that's, I'm not saying that's what Tavares is going to get. I would think that that's, you know, yeah, Tavares is probably going to be in the $5 million range. But again, you can't pay Matthews 13.5 and Marner 11.5 and then pay Nylander 10 plus. You just can't do it.
Get rid of Marner and keep Nylander. I'm sure it's let Matthews go to Arizona and sign Connor McDavid. There are many scenarios people can dream up. We will get to that point. But again, in the moment, the Leafs coming off a really encouraging win after a bit of a stumble this week, and into Philadelphia they go, where it's just business as usual with the general lineup that you could say is the ride or die group, especially on the back end with guys like Ben and Timmins kind of on a bit of a carousel, getting in when they can. And those who make the biggest and long-lasting impressions are the ones who will have the biggest amount and most long-lasting opportunities to do things. Mike, anything else you want to add, my friend?
Well,
we saw you on the National.
Yeah, that was very interesting how that happened. But being based in Buffalo, and Buffalo was the epicenter of the sporting universe with everything that happened to DeMar Hamlin. You know, I was asked to go on, do an interview, a Zoom interview, and it ended up being on the National, which was a kick. I mean, but, you know, thankfully the situation that occurred, you know, DeMar Hamlin is now out of danger and looks like he's going to get out of the hospital pretty soon. And, you know, but the entire sporting world and even, you know, the entire world was focused on DeMar Hamlin and what happened to him in Cincinnati. And like I said, thankfully, he seems to be okay now.
OG's Converts, thanks so much for being here. The longer we go, the more people who jump on board. But we can't go forever. We've got other things to do. Like this content. We need more subscribers. Many people, hundreds if not thousands of people listen to this podcast on their favorite platform and then come back to watch Mike and I do our thing on the YouTube channel, but you're not subscribed. Why not? Just hit the subscribe button, like the content, tell your friends. Season 5, we haven't missed a week. We keep on going, and you guys haven't missed a beat either, supporting Michael and I. Make sure to stay in touch and support Mr. Augello's stuff at hockeybuzz.com. So, Mike, I know you like The Who, and you're a big John Entwistle and Pete Townsend fan, and Roger Daltrey and Keith Moon. But let's face it, the official guitarist and band of the Leafs convo, Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin.
I love Led Zeppelin, but, you know, I'm a Clapton fan. I'm a Steve Howe, Steve Hackett. I mean, you know, there's so many guitar players out there that are great, but I love Jimmy Page. I love Zeppelin. So, but they're not my favorite band. And by the way, the Zeppelin, Pete Townsend hates being compared to Led Zeppelin. I saw him in an interview. He says, like, they're nice guys, but I hate being compared to them because he thought his music was great and theirs was not so great. But that's not me. I like both.
Led Zeppelin? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It'd be like, you know, it's the elephant in the room. It's Led fucking Zeppelin, dude. The body of work is unmatched. It really is. We could talk about that another time, but yes. Credit to the Who, credit to Led Zeppelin, to Mike, to myself, to you OGs and converts, and to the Maple Brothers who keep us up at night, but also keep us wishing, hoping, and dreaming of better days. Who knows? They might be coming. Okay, we'll talk to you in a couple of days. Maybe we'll do a sneak show. We'll see. For Mike, I'm Norm. We're out.